Ladies and gentlemen, before we begin tonight's show, we would like to send our thoughts and condolences to Sid, Udi, and his friends and family. For those of you, you would know him as Sid Justice, Psycho Sid, and Sid Vicious. As a tradition in professional wrestling, we will now bow our heads in silence as we do the 10 bell salute. May he rest in peace.
The following podcast has been paid for by Perched on the Top Rope.
If you want to listen to some good gaga about the wrestling business, you got to listen to Perched on the Top Rope with Lee. I listen to it every day and night, even when I'm on the loo. See ya, folks. Bushwhacker Luke.
Welcome, everyone, to Perched on the Top Rope. I am your host, former Dirt Sheet writer from Ringside News, the richest, the sportsest, and Sports Kita. And don't forget about Daily DDT, ladies and gentlemen. I am Lee Walker. And what a sad day to start off our Monday when it comes to the professional wrestling universe. You might know him as Sid Justice. You might know him as Psycho Sid or Sid Vicious, but today on social media, his son had wrote that he had passed away. And in the post, Gunner had wrote, "In memory of my father, Sid Uday, dear friends and family, I am deeply saddened to share that my father, Sid Uday, has passed away after battling cancer for several years. He was a man of strength, kindness, and love, and his presence will be greatly missed. We appreciate your thoughts and prayers as we grieve this loss. Details for a memorial service will be shared soon. Thank you for your support. Sincerely, Gunner Uday." Now, a little bit about Sid's career. He debuted in 1987. That's right, 1987. Some of you probably weren't even born yet. I was only 3 years old at the time, as I was born in 1984. That's right, I'm dating myself here, folks, just for you. He got his break as Lord Humongous, working in Continental Championship Wrestling. He worked under a mask. And he was a heel, became a fan favorite, and then during this time, he would end up in New Japan Pro Wrestling, where he challenged Tatsumi Fujinami for the IWGP Heavyweight Championship under the name Vicious Warrior, which in our podcast with PN News, PN News actually talks about working with and teaming with Vicious Warrior, a.k.a. Sid. You can go listen to that episode. He had a brief stint in World Class Championship Wrestling, where he went by and adopted one of his most notable ring names, Sid Vicious, which he took from the punk rock musician who played bass for the Sex Pistols. It would be from here that we would see Sid enter NWA / World Championship Wrestling. He retained his Sid Vicious name, where he would team with Dan Spivey as the Skyscrapers. They were managed by Teddy Long. They had feuds with the Steiner Brothers and the Road Warriors. And this is where he would incorporate the powerbomb as his finishing move, However, Sid would be replaced by Mean Mark Callis, later known as The Undertaker, after he had broken a rib and punctured a lung during a match against the Steiner Brothers at November 1989's Clash of Champions. He would make a full recovery, and in 1990, Sid would join Ric Flair and the Four Horsemen. That's right, Sid was a member of the Four Horsemen. And while he was a member of the Four Horsemen, folks, they would disband in April of 91. And this was just after Sid would go on to have literally the worst match of the year against the Night Stalker at Clash Champions 8. Which the Night Stalker was Brian Clark, a.k.a. Adam Bomb. To the point that after the match, Big Cat Curtis Hughes comes out to save the Night Stalker, and, you know, him, Night Stalker, and the Motor City Madman were seemingly, like, forming a faction together. And at Starrcade, Dan Spivey would team with Sid, reforming the Skyscrapers at Starrcade to take on Big Cat and Motor City Madman, which it was supposed to be the Night Stalker, but he no-showed the event. And you can listen to that in our interview with Brian Clark, Adam Bomb, on youtube.com/perchedonthetoprope or Apple Podcast Perched on the Top Rope. So they would break up in April 91, and this is where Sid would renegotiate with WWF and end up back in the World Wrestling Federation, which he debuted on a episode of Superstars in 1991. This was an untelevised segment attacking the Mountie following the Mountie's open offer. WWF would run a bunch of vignettes, but instead of calling him Sid Vicious, he was now Sid Justice. That's right, a name change. And it would be his televised debut that would actually come July 20th of 1991 at the main event of SummerSlam, where he was the special guest referee as the Ultimate Warrior teamed with the almighty, the immortal one, the WWF champion at the time, Hulk Hogan, as they took on the Triangle of Terror of Sergeant Slaughter, Colonel Mustafa, and General Adden in a 3-on-2 handicap match, where later in the night, Sid saved Macho Man Randy Savage and Miss Elizabeth from an attack at the hands of Jake Roberts and The Undertaker. Now, during this time, Sid defeated Keto in his first televised match on September 21st on an episode of Superstars. This was a long build-up for Sid Justice. I mean, it was a long build-up here. And of course, one of the most famous things that we associate Sid Justice with was the Royal Rumble, which this Royal Rumble had the special stipulation that the winner would win the vacated WWF Championship after it had been stripped from Hulk Hogan. Sid entered in at number 29, and, you know, of course, he was among the final four, which also included Hulk Hogan, Randy Savage, and Ric Flair. Before he eliminated both Savage and then Hogan, leaving himself with just Flair in the ring, it would be Hogan, who was still ringside, who would help Ric Flair eliminate Sid Justice to become the WWF champion. Sid would go on to have a lengthy feud with Hulk Hogan. However, it would be his own demise, where he ends up failing a drug test, and they allowed him to finish out what they had planned for him, but told him that he was going to face a suspension and fines, among other things, prior to failing this drug test before his match at WrestleMania against Hulk Hogan that he was supposed to have. So instead, Sid quit. And at the time of his departure, Sid was about to embark on a feud with the Ultimate Warrior, and the story being that Sid was angry at Warrior for sticking his nose in his business at WrestleMania 8, to which Sid competed on the WWF's European tour of April of 92. He began the feud with Warrior in the States. They wrestled a couple of house shows. However, once this happened and Sid had quit the company due to the disagreements that he was having with Warrior and WWF management, they switched and replaced Sid with Papa Shango for the feud with Warrior. So that's where Papa Shango, I don't know if you guys remember some of the vignettes, Warrior's throwing up. He's got like this black stuff coming down his face. It was pretty wild. Now, Sid returns to WCW in 1993, and this is where the story gets wild. So right away, we have Sid coming back in May 93, being the mystery competitor against Van Hammer at Slamboree, to which he defeated him in a stretcher match. He reignites his feud with Sting, and they have at Fall Brawl Sting's team versus Sid's team. Now, before this, the Shockmaster debuts, and Sid was there for that, which, if you remember Shockmaster, Fred Ottman is the one who went ass over tea kettle, busting through the wall like he was a Kool-Aid man, but instead of saying, oh yeah, it was, oh no. To which you could hear like Ric Flair laughing and a few others. So they end up having the team matches at Fall Brawl. It's Sting, Davey Boy Smith, Dustin Rhodes, and the Shockmaster. They defeated Sid's team, which was Sid, Vader, and Harlem Heat. And at Halloween Havoc, Sid would face Sting in a rematch from 3 years previous. He was beaten with a roll-up in the following week. Sid turns babyface, but it would be his last appearance before being released from his contract due to an incident with Arn Anderson. And this incident, fans, was pretty famous. The incident happened WCW Tour of Europe, where he and Anderson are involved in an argument at a hotel bar in Blackburn of October 27th, 1993. Anderson threatened Sid.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
You need parts? O'Reilly Auto Parts has parts. Need them fast? We've got fast. No matter what you need, we have thousands of professional parts people doing their part to make sure you have it. Product availability. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
With a broken bottle, after being sent to their rooms by security chief Doug Dillinger, Sid later went to Anderson's room and attacked him with a chair leg, and Anderson retaliated with a pair of scissors. Sid received 4 stab wounds, and Anderson received 20, losing a pint and a half blood in the process. The fight was broken up by wrestler Too Cold Scorpio, who was credited for saving Anderson's life. Neither man pressed charges against each other. The British police declined to do so, since both men would soon be leaving the country, and Sid was fired for the incident. So that's the incident at hand that took place, both men stabbing each other. We would see Sid go on to work the independent scene, as he worked for the United States Wrestling Association for a few years, which Sid would find his way back to the WWF in 1995. So when he comes back to the WWF, he's there as Shawn Michaels' bodyguard at WrestleMania when he takes on Diesel. And Michaels had the match won hitting the super kick, but Sid stood on the ring apron to distract referee Earl Hebner, allowing Diesel time to recover and pin Michaels after hitting him with the jackknife powerbomb. The next night on Raw, Michaels is not happy with Sid's interference and, you know, gives him the night off for his rematch against Diesel at the first ever In Your House pay-per-view, which took place in Syracuse, New York. Sid would reply to Shawn, "You don't give me the night off," and attack Shawn Michaels from behind, hitting him with a powerbomb multiple times. This would turn Shawn face again, but this would also have Diesel come out to save Shawn. A couple weeks later, Ted DiBiase announces Sid as the newest member of the Million Dollar Corporation, and it would be during this run in WWF that we see Sid become the WWF champion, and would do so by defeating Shawn Michaels at Survivor Series. He would hold on to the championship until Royal Rumble that year, losing it back to Michaels. He would end up leaving the company with July 14th being his last appearance, and it was on Raw. Despite being promoted Wrestling Vader at SummerSlam, he was released by the WWF once again to recover from a neck injury that would require surgery. He would go around, work the independent circuit in 1998. He wrestled in Mexico in 1999. He would also join ECW in 1999. It was January of 99, as a matter of fact, where he had great matches against the Dudley Boys. Skull Von Cross, just incredible. He would leave ECW due to money issues that the company was having. And he would finish out his big time in WCW from 1999 to 2001. At Starrcade 2001, Sid challenged Scott Steiner for the WCW World Heavyweight Championship. Failed to do so, but on January 14th in 2001 at the Sin pay-per-view, Sid faced Scott Steiner, Jeff Jarrett, and Road Warrior Animal in a Four Corners match for the championship, which during the match, he suffered a near-career-ending injury. He came off the middle rope and snapped his leg in half. And it was WCW executive at the time, John Laurinaitis, that allegedly felt that Sid needed to broaden his arsenal in his wrestling moves and suggested he try an aerial move. Despite Sid's unwillingness, as Sid felt it unnecessary as a wrestler his size to do some sort of spot like that and was uncomfortable doing them, Sid done it anyway, leaping from the second turnbuckle and attempted a big boot on Steiner. He landed awkwardly with all his weight landing on one foot, kicking the other out, fracturing the leg on which he landed. Again, snapping his leg in half, snapping both tibia and fibula. Oh, God. Which one of the bones, you know, had completely rotated 90 degrees anti-clockwise, not supposed to bend that way. After, you could see Scott Steiner still beating him up and Sid's on the ground, like, waving his hands like, pin me already. Absolutely ridiculous. And that would be the end and the last time we saw Sid in WCW. And Sid would go on to wrestle a bunch independent circuits from 2002 all the way up until 2017. His most notable things that had happened were on June 25th, 2012, on an episode of Raw, Sid returned to the WWE as Psycho Sid in a match against Heath Slater, where he defeated Slater as part of an ongoing celebration building up to WWE's 1000th episode of Raw. It was his first appearance on Raw since July 14th, 1997. And his first match on the show since June 9th, 1997. Sid would reappear on the actual 1000th episode on July 23rd. He would even help Lita take Slater down. And he would have his retirement match August 5th, 2017, defeating Paul Rosenberg in Ottawa for Ottawa for Great North Wrestling. Now, in his personal life, Sid was actually no stranger to TV, as his son Frank was a castmaster of the CBS reality show Big Brother 14 and 18, and be brought up on the show. But he was also in other media, as he was in the 2000 film for WCW, Ready to Rumble, alongside David Arquette. In 2001, he starred alongside Kurt Angle and Kevin Nash in a horror movie called The River of Darkness. He was in another horror movie in 2011 called Death from Above, which starred Kurt Angle, James Storm, Matt Morgan, and others. And as I said, he's also appeared on CBS's reality show Big Brother 14. He's got all sorts of action figures, as I have them myself, from WCW, WWF, Hasbro's, WWE Elites. And if you're fortunate enough, you have them signed. But he was also a playable character in a lot of video games. He made his first appearance on the Nintendo for the WWF WrestleMania Steel Cage Challenge, to where he was also on the Game Boy version WWF Superstars 2. He made an appearance on WWF Super WrestleMania, and for WCW appeared in Backstage Assault. Now, he was also a playable character in the Legends of Wrestling 2 and Showdown Legends of Wrestling. And he was also part of the 2K series for 2K17, 2K18, and 2K19. Now, he also appeared on Family Feud as well in 1990. And 2012, he was also part of the Tears of Bankers. So I'm going to share a couple of my most fond memories of Sid, which are honestly, to me, rather funny, because I remember his promos and screwing up on his promos. For instance, he was doing one with Jim Ross where he screws up and goes, "Hey, can we redo that?" And Jim goes, "No, this is live TV." Oh, well. Another one was Nash and Hall were in the ring. This is WCW. And he says something along the lines of, "I have half the brains that you have," referring to Nash, but what he meant to say was that Nash had half the brain that Sid had. And that didn't go over well, to the point that Nash mocked him over it during the promo and on WCW. I believe it was Nitro that happened on. I remember him having a badass powerbomb and a badass chokeslam. He had this very intimidating look when he was back in 96, 97 with the black vest and the black tights. And he was just a tall monster. And when he was Sid Justice, he was wearing blue tights in the WWF in the early 90s. But between the Sid Justice and then the Psycho Sid, it was a lot. It was almost like when Brian Pillman had that unhinged gimmick that he wanted to work in WWF. That's what Psycho Sid was. He was unhinged. Unlike Sid Justice or Sid Vicious in his time past. I think a lot of stuff from his New Japan work gets overlooked, so if you can, look that up on YouTube. as PN News in a recent interview with us had talked about working with Sid over in New Japan. Sid worked with everybody. He worked with all the greats, Davey Boy Smith, Harlem Heat, Owen Hart, Stone Cold Steve Austin, you name it, he worked with them. Hulk Hogan, Ric Flair, former Four Horsemen. You know, not many people get to say that. And when it comes to his accolades as a champion, I'll list off the most notable ones for fan. When it came to WCW, he was a one-time United States heavyweight champion, and he was a two-time WCW World Heavyweight Champion. In the WWF, he was a two-time World Heavyweight Champion.
We here at Perched on the Top Rope would like to send our thoughts and condolences to the O'Day family. May Sid rest in peace. We are going to end this episode with the 10-bell salute in honor of Sid Justice, Sid Vicious, and Psycho Sid. Sid O'Day, rest in peace.